Turn over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, please. We're reviewing the Hall of Fame this morning. Hall of Faith. These are the guys that threw all the game-winning touchdown passes. These are the ones that hit all the last of the ninth inning home runs with two outs. These are the ones that have carried their teams on to victory all by themselves, they and the Lord God. We have talked about Abel. We've talked about Enoch. We've talked about Noah. We talked briefly last week about Abraham. And last Sunday, how many of you were in church last Sunday night? All right, we talked about Abraham and his calling last Sunday night. We're not going to dwell on that this morning because we explored that in great detail last Sunday evening, but we will review the scriptures there, and I'll comment on them just briefly. We'll not go into the same detail that we did when we were together last week. Someone read for me the verses 8, 9, and 10, please. Let me see somebody's hand who would like to read those. And then if you'll stand, please, and just read them aloud so we can review them. All right, Marla?
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
All right, thank you. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place he should have to receive, he obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. I think I mentioned to you last week that I wanted you to see the connection between four words there, by faith in the first line and not knowing in the last line. Do you see that? By faith means not knowing. By faith literally means not having any physical evidence, not having any sensual assurance. By faith means you have nothing to go on except what? The word of the Lord. That you have absolutely nothing to anchor to except God's word. If you're anchoring to something or someone else, you are not walking in faith. Walking in faith means walking without physical knowledge, without sensual knowledge. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. And you can't feel it. The only thing you can do is believe it on the inside. You have a knowing down in your spirit. The knowing is not here necessarily. It's down in your spirit. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. He did not know where God wanted him to go. He did not know what his future was going to be, but God said, get up and go. By faith, he obeyed the Lord. He got up and he left. And it would be the same thing as if the Lord spoke to you this morning when you got out of bed and said, I want you to pack up your suitcases and I want you to pack your family up. I want you to throw everything you can in your car, what you can throw in your car, I want you to leave behind, and I want you just to head out. Yeah, but where, Lord? Where? Just head out. But what am I going to do about my house and all that? Are we coming back? Head out. But where are we going, Lord? Head out. But what do I do about all these things that are behind? You don't have to tell everybody? Head out. By faith, Abraham obeyed. That's exactly what happened to Abraham. He obeyed. He got everything together that he could carry, his family, and he left. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how long he was going to be gone. But not knowing those things, he went. It was by faith that he went. All right, now after he had gone, he left his homeland, and he'd gone into the land where it was filled with enemies. Listen to this now in verse 9. Marlon read, by faith he sojourned. Sojourned. What's it mean to sojourn? He stayed there, and he wandered there. He didn't build himself any houses. He just wandered in that place, in a land of promise, in a strange country. Now, there were enemies there, and it would have been very easy for Abraham to decide somewhere along the line, I've missed God. Surely after 15 years wandering this wasteland, if God was in this, surely I'd have me a city built by now. You know, if God was in this, surely I'd have a big house built by now. Surely if God was in this, I'd have fences up around my pastures to keep my flocks in. Surely if God was in this, all these guys would not be after me. They wouldn't be giving me all this flack. Surely if God was in, I must be out of the will of God. I'm going home. But Abraham had heard God, and by faith, he stayed there. By faith. Not because everything was going good for him. Not because everything was hunky-dory. He stayed there by faith. He sojourned in that place because of his faith. He heard God. He believed God. He said, I don't care what happens. It doesn't matter if all my wells spew forth poison water. It doesn't matter if all my cattle die. It doesn't matter that the promise of God has not come yet as far as my son is concerned, my seeds. My wife is still barren. It doesn't matter that all these people in the land don't like me. None of those things matter. I'm going to stay here and do what God told me to do. He sojourned there and he dwelled in tents. Now Abraham was not accustomed to living in tents. He had come from the city of Ur in the Chaldees, and then he had spent a number of years in a city that his father built by the name of Haran. He was a city dweller. He was not a tent dweller. He was not a nomad, but he became a nomad. He became something that he wasn't before because he heard the word of God. By faith, he believed what God said, and day by day, he was doing what God told him to do. Now, there are some instances along the way where he missed it. He missed it with Hagar, if you remember that story. He listened to his wife. She missed it, and he missed it right after her, and they had a child, and that particular mistake is still haunting his descendants today. Today. 4,000 years later, his descendants are still under oppression by the seed of Ishmael. The Arabs spring from Ishmael's seed. That's why the Arabs say today, Abraham's our father. You Jews, you say Abraham's your father. God gave all this land to Abraham. Abraham's our father. Land belongs to us. That's what the whole problem is over there in the Middle East right now. The Jews say Abraham's our father. God's word says that God gave the land to Abraham from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt, the Nile River. All this belongs to us. And the Arabs say, what you talking about, man? Abraham's our dad too. And if the promise was made to Abraham, what sure belongs to us doesn't belong to you. And what they don't understand is the Bible also says that this promise is going to be through the seed of the promise, not through the natural seed. This promise came through Abraham's miracle son, Isaac. And not through his natural son, Ishmael. That's where they missed it. But that's where you have that problem over. That's why the world has been in turmoil in that part of the globe ever since that day. And to this. And it will be. Do you know that that will never be healed? Until Jesus comes and sets up his throne in that place as seated on the throne of David, then there will be peace in the world. Of his government, there will be no end. But until that point, you see, it will be constant trouble there, constant trouble. There'll never ever be healed. But Abraham dwelled in tents in that land. He lived there. Didn't build him a city because God didn't give him instruction to build a city. And he dwelt there with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Does that speak to you? What does it say to you, that last portion?
We have the same promises that Abraham had.
All right, says more specifically than that even. Who was Isaac? Abraham's son. Who was Jacob? Isaac's son. Now the scripture says that Isaac and Jacob were heirs together with Abraham of the same promise. Does that speak to you concerning our own children? Have the same promise that we do. Our children have a special relationship to God. They are heirs to the same promise as we are. Why? Because they're our children. They're our seed. Over in 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter where Paul is talking about marriage and divorce, and he's talking there about a woman that has a husband that doesn't believe yet, and he's saying, don't you leave him, you stay with him. And he said, because he and your children are sanctified. In other words, they're separated. They're set apart unto God. There's a special thing there with God because of you. One parent, you see, who really loves God and knows the Lord, that your children have a part in that inheritance. Here's Isaac and Jacob, little tiny ones. They have a part in that inheritance. even though they're old, not old enough to even pronounce the word. They have a part in that. All right? And so do we today as their heirs and our children after us. Verse 10. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city is he talking about there? Pardon? New Jerusalem, ultimately, yes. He's talking about the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, the city that God built, not the city that man built. Now, earthly Jerusalem is a type, a model, a shadow, a preview of heavenly Jerusalem. If you read through the Old Testament, you see God's special concern about the city Jerusalem. It's called Zion. It's called the city of Zion. It's called the city of God, Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem. That God was going to establish an earthly physical city, which is a type or a shadow of the city that will be coming down from heaven according to John's vision recorded for us in the book of Revelation. There's a day coming when the city that God has built is going, not the one man built, but the one God built, is coming down from heaven, is going to dwell right here on this earth. And that's where we're going to live. You know that we're not going to live in heaven forever? Heaven's not our home. Heaven's not our home. The city of God's our home. But right now it's in heaven. Now it's in heaven. But one day coming, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And God's holy city is not going to stay up there forever. It's coming down here. Do you know why God made earth in the first place? Who did he make it for? He made it for us. He made earth for us. And he's going to remake it for us. When sin is completely done away with, and when the government of the Lord Jesus Christ comes completely, heavenly Jerusalem will come here. This is where we're going to live. We're going to live here on the earth that God made. And it's going to be the way he intended for it to be in the beginning, before the devil twisted and perverted and messed it all up for us. Now, Abraham was not going to build a city of his own. He said, God's got something much better than any city I've ever seen. And I'm going to wait for it. By faith, I'm waiting for the city of God, whose builder and maker is God. All right, verse 11. And 12, someone read those two verses for us, please. 11 and 12. Who'd like to read that? All right, Chris?
Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea, sure innumerable.
How did Sarah conceive? By faith. What did she believe? She believed God's promise. And what had God promised? All right, that through Abraham would come many nations, would be blessed through the seed of Abraham, and that out of Abraham's loins would come a great nation. Sarah believed that. Now, that's not recorded for us back in the book of Genesis. That's why it's important that we read the entire Bible. Back in the book of Genesis, if you look at the story, you'll see that it's recorded that when Sarah heard the word of the angel, she laughed. She laughed. She thought it was a big joke. The angel came to her, I believe it's the 17th chapter, where the angel came and was speaking to Abraham, and Sarah was behind the flap of the tent. And when she heard what the angel said, next year about this time, you're going to have a child. Sarah said, ha, 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 ha. Funny, funny. And then when the angel heard it, then she denied that she laughed, you know, thought it was that it was funny. That's what's recorded. But Paul records for us that she went from laughter to faith. We don't know when, but somewhere along there, she turned a switch of faith on. And she said, well, you know, if God said it, my husband believes it. He's in as bad a shape as I am. He's 100 years old. And if God said it and he believes it, then why don't I? And by faith, she believed that she could. Over in Romans, it tells us that she had ceased after the manner of women. That she no longer was having a monthly ovulation cycle. that she had stopped menstruating. She had gone through a change of life. We don't know how long before that, but there was absolutely no sign that her body reproductively was alive. It was dead. But she said, God said it, I believe it, and it come to pass. Now I'm going to show you another woman that had the same kind of faith. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. Now this, a lot of folks have not seen this. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. She heard God's word. Verse 38, this is Mary's word. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't say, oh no, it's impossible, it can't happen. Now she did the first time. The first time the angel spoke to her, she said, how can it be? I've never known a man. And the 35th verse is the angel's answer. You don't have to know a man. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. She said, oh, okay. Can you imagine that? Okay. Be it unto me as thou hast said. And bless God, she was pregnant. Now, do you know that if Mary had not responded in faith, that she would not have been the mother of Jesus? It couldn't have come to pass. All right, Sarah, by faith, conceived. He might well have said also that Mary, by faith, conceived the Messiah. She received strength through her faith. Those of you who have you ever felt weak? Weak or weakened? How many of you have ever felt that way? Those of you that didn't raise your hand don't have very good memories. I want you to notice, if you only see these few words, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. By faith she received strength. Now she received strength to conceive seed. You can receive strength to get your housework done. You can receive strength to go to work when your body says you're sick. Stay home. You can receive strength to believe. See, for your children when they're rebellious and stubborn. How? By faith. Not by what you see, but by faith. You can, by faith, receive strength to stand fast while your husband is still lost and still acting like a son of the devil. You can still be strong by faith, not by what you see. By faith. Same way Sarah did. I tell you, if God could cause Sarah's womb to be opened because of her faith, He can also cause you to have sufficient strength for whatever you need to stand for. These things are recorded for us as examples that we can see that these things belong to us in the same way they belong to them. Verse number 12. Therefore. I heard someone say one time that every time you see that word therefore, you want to find out what is it there for? Why is it in there? Why is it? What's it there for? It's a connection. Because of Sarah's faith, therefore, sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead. Now that would tell you about his virility. As good as dead. As good as dead. You see, there's no limit to what God can do. He can take him from the dead. And so the important thing is you remember what we saw last week about faith's pattern. The first thing is get the word of God, hear God's word, then believe it, okay? Then act on it, and then receive it. Him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore in the deep. Now that's what God promised the man Abraham. He said, Abraham, if you'll be faithful to me, I will make of your seed greater than the number of stars that are in the sky and greater than the sand that's in the seashore. Those scriptures recorded back in Genesis. That was God's promise. And here is Paul the apostle giving the fulfillment of that. That God did that. Therefore, because of their faith, out of dead bodies, God raised up a nation. Physical nation and a spiritual nation. All right, now, let me read for you verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In what condition did they die? In faith. Not cursing God, not angry with God, not saying, oh, woe is me, God didn't fulfill his word, not saying, where did I miss it? Somehow along the line, I misunderstood what God said. No. Even though Abraham died, he did not have a house. He was still living in tents. He never saw the promise that God had made. All he had was one son, Isaac. God had said, I'm going to make you like the stars of the sky. I'm going to make you like the sand at the seashore. But Abraham never saw that with his physical eyes. He never saw it. But he saw it with his spirit. He died in faith, and as he drew his last breath, his heart was saying, I believe you, Lord. What you said you would do, you'll do. What you promised me will come to pass. Reminds me of the story of two men who had been very good friends from early, two businessmen who had been very good friends from very early in their business career. The one man was born again, a child of God, and loved the Lord Jesus with all of his heart. The other man was a mocker and a doubter and a scorner. Not interested in the things of God at all. But in the flesh, they were very close together. They had a very close relationship. And the Christian prayed diligently for his friend and witnessed diligently to his friend and believed God for his friend's salvation. And the Christian man died, and his friend was still lost. But 6 weeks after the man died, his friend came to Jesus. Now see, that man died in faith. He didn't see the promise, but with his spirit he saw it. Because he saw God's word. God's word said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that every man should come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. That's God's promise. That's God's word. He said, I take it your word, Lord. Doesn't matter what happens when I die. Doesn't matter what he looks like. I've claimed him for the kingdom of God, and I believe you to bring that to pass. And after the man was dead, his buddy, they came to know Jesus. Now that's what happened here to Abraham. After Abraham died, began his seed to multiply through the loins of Isaac. Even Isaac didn't see very much of it. You know the story there, how Abraham had one son, Isaac. The next generation, Isaac, he had one son, Jacob. Well, two sons, Jacob and Esau, but one son, which was the son of the promise, Jacob. He had one bad one and one little, one good one. But that doesn't look much like a nation, does it? After two generations or three generations, and you still only have, you've only had three guys. Now that's a lot of years. And surely about that time you'd wonder whether God was ever going to bring his promise to pass. And then bless the Lord, Jacob had 12 sons. See, God knows what he's doing. They all died in faith, not receiving the promise. They continued to believe. Even though they never saw, but they saw them afar off, And they were persuaded of them. What does it mean to be persuaded? Convinced. They were persuaded and convinced. They had assurance on the inside that what God said would come to pass, regardless of whether they had seen it or not. And they embraced them. They believed in those promises. They made those promises the central part of their life. And they confessed that they were only strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How about us? We're foreigners, aren't we? We're strangers and we're pilgrims because this is not our home. This is not our home. Our home is where the Lord God is. We're just strangers here and pilgrims here. We're wanderers here. Now, we may have houses and lands and churches and so on, but we're pilgrims here. This is not our home. This is not where we're going to live eternally. I mean, in our present circumstances and in our present situation. And that's why worldly things do not have, or should not have, I should say, the kind of hold on believers as it does on unbelievers. Now, you know those that do not know Jesus. They are tied to their homes. They are tied to their lands. They are tied to their jobs. They are tied to their families. Their gods are their houses. Their gods are their cars. Their gods are their parents. Their gods are their children. Their gods are their mates. When God said the very first thing, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're strangers and we're pilgrims. Yes, God gives all of these things to bless us. And we are to love one another and to be joined to one another. But we're not to make one another gods. Over in Romans, the first chapter, the word says, because the people worship the creation rather than the creator, that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. All right, verse 14. For they, that is these men and women of faith, for they that say such things, that they're strangers and pilgrims, declare plainly that they seek a country. Now, for you to say, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim, that means that you are saying that you're still seeking the city of God. That you're still seeking that place of final and ultimate rest that God has provided for us and promised. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, in other words, if they had constantly been remembering what it was like, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Paul says over in Philippians, the third chapter, he says, this one thing I have learned to do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. Forgetting all those things that are behind, I press on. Abraham, I'm sure, had the temptation thrown across his path while he's wandering in the tents all those years. What am I doing out here? What am I doing? It was so much better back there in my daddy's house. Back there at home, where there was a nice, where it was nice and comfortable, and where I had family, and where I had relatives. What am I doing out here? But he wasn't concerned about where he'd come from. He was concerned about where he was going. He had no concern, was not mindful of where he'd come from. But now they desire, verse 16, a better country, that is an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What is God's concern about? Is he concerned about the old country or the new one? The new one. That's why he's not ashamed, you see, to call us his children. That's why he's not ashamed to call us his family. That's why he's not ashamed to call himself our God, because we all, he and us together, have the same motivation and the same desire. All right, now someone read. Anybody have any questions or thoughts about where we've been thus far? We're going to go to a couple of different subjects here now. Same basic theme. But I want to be sure that if you have a comment you want to offer or a question, when I get going on these things, I just keep going. And I want to just stop and give you an opportunity to say a word if you have something you want to share. All right, someone read for us, please, out of verse 17, 18, and 19. Someone read those three verses. Let me have a hand, please. Bob? Stand, if you will, please.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that, God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure.
Okay, thank you, Bob. What was Abraham operating on?
Faith.
Mm-hmm. It was faith that caused him to take Isaac. Now, Isaac was a, we see Isaac as a youth, but if you go back and read the story in the book of Genesis, you will see that Isaac was old enough to carry the wood. You see, he was not just a little tiny boy. He was old enough to carry a pretty good armful of wood because he carried the wood to make the fire for the sacrifice. Now that makes him probably an elder teen or a young man. And Abraham, by faith, because he heard the word of God. Hold your finger right here and turn with me back to the book of Genesis and let's look at that story. Genesis chapter 22. Verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." The word tempt there means not tempt him to sin, but it means tried him. He tested him. The word tempt means to test or to try. "And said unto him," God spoke the word to Abraham. Abraham heard the word of God. In the same way that you pick up your Bible and you read God's word, or you hear it taught, or you hear it preached, you hear the word of God. Abraham heard the word of God. God tempted Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee up to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up and went on. All Abraham had to go on was the word of the Lord. He didn't know, he didn't understand what was happening, but he had God's word. He had God's instruction. And he took his son and he started up the mountaintop to offer the sacrifice. All right, we're going to pick it up there next week. We'll talk some more about that story and then go on through Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samson, Barak, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Deborah, the rest of them. Many, many of God's saints. All right, let's have a word of prayer and thank God for His word. Father, we do bless you for your word. We bless you for the example of these saints of God. We know that according to the book of James, that these men were of like passions as we are. That they weren't different men. They weren't supermen. They were men created in the flesh the same as we are, and they operated in faith on your word, the same as we can. We thank you, Father, that you have given us these examples, recorded them for us, that our faith might be stirred, and that we might be encouraged and exhorted to stand in the same way on your word, that we might be persuaded and convinced of your promises and embrace them in the same way that these men and women of God have done, that your inheritance, that your promises might be made manifest for us and for our seed. In Jesus' name, amen.